in Alabama. So you pray for Brother Carl as he shares his heart tonight.
All right. Well, it is an honor to be here, to be back home, whether you claim me or not. It's been quite a long time since I've been to the church. And for good reasons. I'm not laying out. I'm pastoring now in Fort Payne, Alabama. And I was telling the folk that come with me about how the church used to be the smaller version of Liberty. Liberty's always been a big church in my eyes, but to come back and see all this, I call it Solomon's Temple. This is Solomon's Temple here. And it is an honor to be back here tonight. I was already in bed when Drew come home from last night's service. And he's always wanting to be an encouragement to his daddy, so he walked in there and kind of startled me a little bit. He said, "You up?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you do?" He said, "Ah." He does that every time he goes somewhere. "You do all right tonight?" "Ah." He said, "But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. Alan Kirk hit it out of the park." He said, "So I don't want to put no pressure on you, Daddy, but you better bring your A game tomorrow night." That's love, isn't it? Oh, but I heard Brother Alan done a wonderful job. And then the Sanhedrin's here tonight. Brother Brian Bridges being the chief of that. So I don't know what's liable to happen. But what an honor to be here, be part of this service. If you don't mind, I'm just going to take my time like I would if I was at home. And so many things I could say about faces that I've seen tonight that's just encouraged my heart. I want to do two things. I want to read from two passages of Scripture, and I don't like to do that, but I've got to show you something. I want you to first turn to the book of Job, and then I want you to hold it. We're coming back there. That's going to be where we're going to stem from, is the book of Job in chapter number 1. But I want to show you a parallel in when you get Job, you hold that. We're coming there and we're going to stay there for a long time. But come back with me to 2 Samuel 12 and I want to show you something. Then we'll go to Job and we'll be there till the end of the service. Job chapter 1, we're holding that with our finger and then we're going to 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's been evident tonight that there has been worship in God's house. It has often been a method of Christian people is praising God. I looked it up today, and the phrase praising God does not happen a lot in the King James Bible. You find it a lot at His birth, praising God. A lot is at His birth, where the angels, the Bible said, praised God. And then the shepherds, as they were returning, the Bible said the shepherds praised God. You don't find it often. You don't find it much more until you get over to the New Testament, the day of Pentecost. You'll find that phrase again, praising God. And even in your Bible, I don't guess it's probably mentioned together a dozen times, the phrase praising God. It means to extol Him. It means to honor Him. And it literally means to sing unto Him. And that's where we do a lot of our praising in the South, is during the song service. You know, I've seen praising during the preaching, and no doubt that's relevant, but most of the time when we're singing is when we do our praising. And it's easy to praise God when He's doing things that we want Him to do. Mighty easy. Boy, I could worship tonight. Number one, because it's free to worship. And there's an enthusiasm here and people are praying. And as far as I know right now, everything's okay in Carl's life. It's just real easy to praise Him tonight. I want to show this to you. I want to show you two men that praised God even when God didn't do exactly what probably should have been, or they thought should have been done. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 18. You know what's happening here. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Now you Bible readers know where we're at. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" And when David saw that his servants worshiped, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servant, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose. Boy, you got to see that. Then David arose from the earth, washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord. And I know it, I can't believe it's in there either. And worshiped after he found out the child was dead. That's what you call praising God. Even when God don't do exactly what you think he should have done. Child's dead, he arose, he worshiped. Stay standing with me. Job chapter 1. There's a parallel here. I want to show it to you. Job chapter 1. I don't have time to read what all happened to him. You know that. What all happened to Job. But the Bible said, you know, there came the great wind and the wilderness and four corners of the house fell. His kids were dead. All this is happening to him. The Bible said in verse number 20 of chapter 1. Then Job arose. That's the same thing David done, by the way. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and there it is again. Praised God right in the middle of hardships. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this subject. Praising God even when he don't. Praising God even when he don't. Now I can praise him when he does. I'm worshiping tonight freely and I'm happy and I'm excited because there's nothing going wrong right now in Brother Partain's life and it's easy for me to worship him. But I just wonder if I would worship him when he don't do what I think he ought to do. Woke up one Sunday morning, happy, ready to preach. God had given me two burning sermons. I couldn't wait to preach the first. I was excited. The kids were well. Everybody was healthy. My wife was happy. I had brought her a Hardee's biscuit. Everything was going great. Gospel music was playing throughout the house. The kids were starting to get up with their sleepy eyes. And I thought about that song, "How Blessed That I Am," and seeing all the goodness. I looked at little Bella. She's here with me tonight. I looked at little Bella and I said, simply said these words. "I want you to go get your brother Jude up out of the bed. He's one that hangs in there a little longer." Now you know about Jude. I've brought him here before. He's got heart complications. So far everything has been well. He's had open heart surgery. And it's been 8 years now and he seems to be doing good. The doctor says, you know, everything seems to be fine, but yet that valve is getting more narrow. And by the time he reaches his teenage days, we might have to look into replacing his valve. And that was far from my mind. And Bella went upstairs. He had slept with his brother that night. He loves Drew to death. And Bella come back down the steps and I'm sitting there listening to gospel music, praising the Lord. Hallelujah, it's going to be a good day. Yes, Lord, I can't wait to get in the pulpit. The church has been crowded. People are joining. We're baptizing them. They're getting saved. Oh, what a great time in the Lord. And Bella walks down the staircase and she leans over and she says these words, "Daddy, I can't get him up." For a moment, something come over me. Now, I'm not trying to lead to a sad story. Nothing was wrong with him. He was just being a brat and wouldn't get out of the bed. But for a moment, are you with me, Daddy? Are you with me, Mama? For a moment, I couldn't hear the music anymore. I know what she said. I can't get him up. But everything in me said, this is it. He's not alive. He's not breathing. And for a moment I paused, praising God. Music is playing. The children are well. Mama's happy. The bills are paid. But then all of a sudden, one little thing comes down the staircase and says to me, he won't get up. And I froze. I have speculated how that day would have went if that would have been true. How I would have to call some of my deacons and said, hey, you got to get over here. And in my mind, you know how your mind does? In my mind, I saw us at a funeral home. In my mind, I saw you coming and visiting and Brother Ken coming and helping me with a funeral of a little baby boy and having to go to Cedartown, Georgia and bury him in a grave lot. And I thought, oh God, that is horrible. Thank God nothing happened, but yet I wondered, would I get up, shave my face, change my clothes, go down to God's house and worship Him even when He don't? I don't have a problem worshiping when He does. I don't have a problem worshiping Him tonight because everything seems to be going well. But I wonder if old Brother Partain would do as David did. And when David had to go bury a baby, he worshiped God even when God didn't. I wonder if I could do as Job. Do you realize what all has happened to Job? I've narrowed it down so it wouldn't be so lengthy. The Bible said that there was a man, chapter 1, there was a man, verse number 6 says, and there was a day. There was a man, and there was a day. Can I say it like this? Every man's going to have his day. Every woman's going to have their day to where things are not going to go as planned. You've got people sitting in here right now, and we know that's faced heartaches and car wrecks and the day was normal, and then one phone call changes our lives. I'm talking about praising God even when He don't. Job has lost his prime way of living. All the oxen, cattle, gone, dead. I guess we could call that losing your job. He's lost his livelihood. His 10 children are dead from a collapsed house. Now, I realize nobody in here has probably lost 10 children in a day. But I wonder how many children you've lost spiritually and you're sitting in here with your heart broken. It's just one of those days. Struck with boils and blisters all over his body. I guess we could say that today would be disease has entered to the house. The very one that loved him the most basically told him to commit suicide. Curse God and die. His own woman cursed God and die. His heart was so heavy that he even spoke the words. He even, I can't remember exactly, cursed the very day he was born. He'd lost the joy of life. Everything was gone. Darkest days of his life. So black that he couldn't see. But what did he do? He turned to the left. God wasn't there. Turned to the right. Couldn't perceive him. Didn't seem like God was anywhere around. Looked behind him, and it was just the old devil accusing him of all he'd done. But the Bible said he got up. By the way, that's what the word arose means. In Alabama, that's what it means. He got up. He got up, the Bible said. And he's rent his clothes, and he shaved his head, and he fell back down to the ground, and he worshiped the Lord. It means to sink down. It means to humbly beg God in worship, like some of you have done tonight. I wonder if we'd worship God even when he don't. What do you mean when he don't? Bring it up to date, Brother Partey. When he don't financially provide. I've heard people testify. I'd like to stand up and say, I love the Lord. And then they tell you why they love him. I tell you what, I had a bill I needed paying and God put it in a mailbox. I went down the mailbox and I've had it done before too. They praise God for what he did. But what are you going to do when he don't pay that bill? You going to come to church? Are you going to stand up and brag on him anyways? Not because of what he's done, but simply because of who he is. He's holy. He's worthy. Whether your bills ever get paid, whether disease ever gets healed, no matter if it don't go your way, he's still worthy of all of our praise. I'm talking about praising God even when he don't do what we want him to do. I praise him when he financially provides. He discouraged me today. Ooh, he discouraged me today. If anybody had reason to stay home, it was me. Went to the post office and got my power bill. Woo! It was so upsetting. The worst one I've ever seen in my life. When there's 10 people living in your house, you know, it ain't pleasant. I told Sharon on the way over here, I said, I've learned to study with a TV on and kids wringing my neck. And I don't know that I could do it any other way now. I mean, are you with me? Could you imagine how... Look, y'all people with 2 kids, help me out. Toilet paper. Paper towels. 6 girls that need Tresemme hairspray and shampoo and at least 2 bottles of conditioner. Come on, help me out a little bit. Finances can get mighty discouraging. But I wonder if I'm willing to praise God on Sunday mornings in honor of Monday night revival night, even when God ain't done those things. One preacher made this statement, and I hadn't quite caught up with it yet, so don't come up to me and question me because I ain't caught up to it myself. But I heard him say it. We ought to praise God even if he sends us to hell at the end of the way. Now I know that's not going to happen. We're saved, we're going to heaven. Understand that. But the idea is, would you praise him in the time that you have alive, even if he was to send you to hell at the end of the path? I know that ain't going to happen. I told you, Brother Mike, I'm still trying to catch up with that statement myself. I'm still working on it in my mind. What about that? Would you praise him even when he don't? Oh, I do when he's financially providing for me. I praise him when he pulls me out of that valley. I sing songs about it, praise God. He pulled me out of the valley. Woo! Let's worship him today. But what if he's going to leave you in the valley? What if he don't answer that prayer? What if he don't touch your children? What if he don't heal you from that disease? What if he don't say yes to everything you suggest? You still going to worship him? I've learned one thing about traveling with youngins. If I honored every request, we'd never get to our destination. Same way with the people of God. If God honored every request that Brother Partain asked, Lord, there'd be dead people laying everywhere. I mean, I have sincerely said it. God, just kill them and we'll be better, Lord. There'd be dead people everywhere. Brother Darrell, there'd be a bunch of them over in Roanoke. I hate to say that. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Don't you go back and tell nobody. Praising God, even when He don't say yes to everything I want. Job did it. You say it ain't biblical. Well, it's right there. You see the story just as good as I do. And the Bible said he arose, and even David arose after bearing this baby, and he went and worshipped himself. Are you seeing that? Worship the Lord. Are you seeing that pattern between the trials of Job and the hardships of David? They both arose. But it's a deeper meaning. The word arose is much deeper than just what Brother Partain said in Alabama language, getting up. It's much deeper than that. Could I give you the true definition to the word arose? What are these men really doing? It's not physical as much as it is what their heart's doing. I can stand up and still not worship God. I can stand up and still not go anywhere. But here's what the meaning is. To become powerful again on the inside. To become, here's the word, fixed. To become established again. That's when the heart stands to attention. That's when the heart stands first and the body has to react to what the heart has done. That's praising God even when the circumstances ain't right. That's praising God and loving Him even when He hadn't said yes to everything that I've wanted. Are you willing to praise God even when He don't? I noticed their approach to worship. Lord had to teach me this. Brother Ken, you know how I was raised. Lord had to teach me this. He's taken me to the backside of a desert. Stripped me from everything I thought that I was. And now, at 44 years old, I'm just now learning, Brother Kirby. Just now learning. You say, well, you should have learned a long time ago. I know. I apologize and I feel guilty. But boy, the Lord's been teaching me some things. Their approach to worship was quite different. And we don't have time to look at it. Just trust me and read it later. Job arose and tore his clothes. David arose and changed his clothes. It's different. David took a bath and anointed himself. Put some cologne on. Job never washed. He just shaved his whole head. I'm going somewhere. David went to church, or the temple, before he worshipped. The Bible said he went to the end of the temple and he worshipped in the temple. Job didn't. He stopped right on the dirt road, just fell in his tracks. Started worshiping. Job preached the sermon after he got done worshiping. One that we still preach today. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David didn't preach. You know what David did? He went home and got a sandwich. I ain't kidding. Read it in the Bible. The Bible said he went home and had some bread. I don't know about y'all, but it'd be tough for me to worship. Son just died and I buried him. And then worship and then go eat a sandwich. Sounds like these men had something that I don't have. They was closer to God than I am. Sound like they found something. They entered into some haven of rest with God to where they could worship Him even when things didn't go their way. Holy Ghost taught me something right here in these little verses. Here's the point He taught me. He said, Carl, people worship different. One made a big deal about it and one just fell in his tracks. One changed his clothes, one tore his clothes. One took a bath, one didn't. One shaved his whole head. But they both worshiped. They both praised God. You see, I'm not a shouter. I can't think of a time. Well, I guess I have before. But it's not typically my way of worship is to shout. I don't run much, I don't think. You're not going to typically watch me or see me running around a building waving a handkerchief. If you do that, that's wonderful. I'd love to do it, but I'm afraid I'd have a heart attack. My way of worship is tears. God gets on me just right. I might raise my hands and I might not. And some people will say, he ain't raising his hands, he don't mean that. Hey honey, when you come from Cedartown, Georgia, if you ain't hacking at least two or three times, you ain't preaching. Are you with me? I mean, you got to do it. And until you start doing it, they're going to say, bless him, Lord. Help him, God. If I was talking like I did tonight and some of them churches I was raised in over there in Polk County, they'd be going, help him, God. Tree him, Lord. Different styles. I've heard Brother Alan Kirk preach. I know. Son. He gets it on, don't he? But man, him's different. Brother Brian, he's a little lower than both of us. He's just growing in the Lord. Y'all pray for him. Me and Brother Brian grew up together. But that's why we joke a lot. But me and him's totally different. Mark Cooper. Brother Mark's fireball. Mark tells it straight from the pulpit. I mean, sometimes he says it too straight. That's his style. Brother Mike's pleasant at times in his delivery. We all know what Brother Ken does. Right into that, boys. I don't care. Right into that. Different styles. My daddy said, when he was in first called to preach, he said he wanted to preach like Mays Jackson. Brother Mays, the truck driver special. I was just a boy and I'd hear that. The truck driver special. And now here's your host today, Brother Mays. Thank you and welcome to the truck driver special. And my daddy said I wanted to preach just like him. And I got up behind the pulpit and tried it. Get your Bibles and turn with... He said, I about killed myself. I can't be Brother Allen. I knew last night when Drew said he hit a home run, I knew in my heart, I thought, I bunt a lot. I'm a bunter. Man... I walk a lot. Sometimes I don't even get off the bench. But people approach worship different. And if you're in one of those boxes that don't think nobody's worshiping because they don't do it like you do it, then as Daddy said, you're crippled too high for crutches. You think you're the tall hog at the trough, he said. Praising God, even when it don't. Couldn't imagine what that day would have been like, Brother Brian. Oh, you'd have got a phone call. You'd have had to come help me. You'd have had to peel me up off the floor. And you'd have done it. You'd have come over there. You'd have helped me. You'd have cried with me. Could you imagine? My brother has passed away since I was here. It's been 3 years now, and I know it's been 3 years since I've been here. Well, no, it's coming up on 3 years. Earl Jr. And I don't mind sharing it with you, and then I'm going to be done. I had to preach his funeral because my daddy said, son, can't do it. I'm going to be able to do it. You're going to have to preach your brother's funeral. They found him overdosed on hydrocodone, sitting on a commode with nothing but his bottoms on, had his head laid back on the commode lid, blue, purple. Man said he'd been dead for at least 3 days, if not possibly four. He used to get up behind the pulpit, Linda, and preach, quote scripture by memory. Started being used of God even more than myself at times. I mean, just all the time, people saying, Earl Partain Jr. going to be preaching revival. I mean, just God began to use him. The devil got a hold of him. Took his wife away. Took his mind away. When Earl died, he was 47. And he looked like a 75-year-old man. And I don't mean that disrespectful. I'm just showing you his age difference. 47 years old. And I'll never forget it. I was coming back from... You were preaching revival for me. And he was already dead, Brother Ken. You was there that first time you came. That's when he died. You started that revival on Monday. And by Tuesday, he's already dead. Wednesday, he's already dead. We're having revival. And he's laying over there dead. Nobody knew it. The Friday night after that revival. After our revival was over on Wednesday, I went to North Carolina to do a meeting on Thursday. Drove all the way back home that Friday evening. And that's where my daddy called me. Where are you at? I just got home, Dad. He said, boy, I think your brother's dead. I said, what? I could hear my sister, Ann. I could hear my sister saying, Daddy, don't tell him that. We don't know. Don't tell him that. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. What was going on to set the scene? The door was locked. Nobody could get in. He hadn't answered his phone. Police was there to break the door open and go find out the status of my brother. And sure enough, it wasn't just a few minutes and we heard the screams. My sister's screaming in the background. And my daddy was saying, he's gone. He's dead, Carl. He's dead. He's dead. We were in revival. Derek Freeman got saved that week that you preached. We were worshiping God. People were being saved. Only for Friday to change my whole life. They had to take him and do an autopsy because he was found dead alone. By the time we got his body back, the good folks down at Gamage Funeral Home in Cedartown said, pulled me. I don't know why he pulled me, but my dad had walked on by my sisters and he said, come here. Closed the door. He said, in tears. Wayne Gamage said, I can't put a suit on him. I can't put a suit on him. He said, when I try to put a suit on him, his skin comes off. He said, I can't put a suit on him. What happened, Brother Carl? It's what sin done. When sin's finished, that's a good little picture of what it does. Pleasure in sin for a season. No doubt. There is pleasure in sin. But only for a season. And when the season's over, it'll make a 47-year-old man look like a 75-year-old man. And body's so decayed that you can't even put a suit on him. He said, the only thing I know to do is to wrap him in lime and put him in a body bag and let's wrap it up and try to get through this funeral without anybody smelling that body. And I'm asked to preach it. But I've got good news. The Holy Ghost. Whew, you're all right with that term, aren't you? I don't scare anybody here, does it? Come over me and let some of you was there and let me preach my brother's funeral. And we got to praise God. I even got to sing the song, Brother Ken, that he used to sing. My knees don't work like they used to. My hands are stiff and they're sore. My eyes are bad and my hearing is sad. And I can't work very hard anymore. But I have a joy too sweet for the telling. You wonder, how could this be? Jesus, just open the windows of heaven. And from that distant shore, I can see. And I see a city. And I see my home. And I see my blessed King. And He's there on His throne. It looks like my loved ones want me to come home. There's a joy in me the world just can't see through the windows of home. God got a hold of me that day. And I done good, Brother Ken. I mean, I preached on sin. I mean, I let her rip on sin. Because I knew that's what got him there. And when I got done, I felt, now listen, I'm not Pentecostal, but this happened to me. I felt a relief that the Lord had pulled His hand away from me to where I could have some relief from preaching. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I put my hand on His casket and I broke down as His body was exiting. And I said, I've done the best I could. I've done the best I could. I've done the best I could. Just wonder, Mom, if you're going to praise God even when He don't. What about it, Dad? Now, you worship tonight. Boy, I like that singing, Brother Partain. Oh, I can just feel the Lord. Thank the... But what if He don't? What if between now and Sunday, something happens in your life? I wonder if you'll come in here Sunday and praise Him anyway. Not because of what He's done. You could go a lifetime just praising Him for simply who He is. That's the message for tonight. Learning to praise God. I haven't arrived. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying. Can Becca sing an invitation? Becca, won't you come up here and sing Weary Heart? He hears you cry.